Jesus said, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep follow him because they know his voice." This Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. The collect that we prayed at the opening of the service acknowledges Jesus as our Good Shepherd and asks that we might respond to him accordingly. That when we hear his voice, we might recognize it and follow him. The psalm appointed for today, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Almost all of the hymns and anthems that we hear in our service today reference the shepherd and the sheep. The passage from Peter's first epistle describes how Jesus suffered to save us from sin, concluding with words referencing Jesus' role as the Good Shepherd. "For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." Every year on this Sunday, we hear from the gospel a reading from some portion of the 10th chapter of John, where Jesus describes himself in passages that we hear over those 3 years as the Good Shepherd who calls his sheep by name, as the one who lays down his life for his sheep, and as the shepherd who leads his sheep to eternal life. Throughout John's gospel, Jesus uses many images to describe himself to his followers and those who have gathered to hear him. He is the bread of life, the source of the living water, the light of the world, the gate, and the way. However, more than any of these other images, the image of the Good Shepherd provides a description not only of Jesus, but also of his followers, his flock, his sheep. In today's passage, Jesus mentions three things that characterize his sheep. They hear his voice, they recognize it as the voice that they know, and then they follow him. They hear his voice, and because they recognize it as the voice of their shepherd, they follow that voice. In that passage, Jesus is speaking to people who are actually hearing his voice, but do not recognize it as the voice of the Messiah, people who hear but do not understand, who hear but do not follow. Jesus' disciples, on the other hand, were the sheep who heard his voice, recognized it, and followed him. Those were his sheep 2,000 years ago. And today, we hear, gather as his flock, his sheep, gathered in his name, praying that when we hear his voice, we may know him and follow where he leads. But there's clearly a difference in how we hear his voice in contrast to those disciples who stood just a few feet away from the incarnate Jesus of Nazareth and heard the sound of air pushing through his vocal cords and forming words in their midst. We don't have the blessing or the risk of that experience. What does it mean then for us to hear, recognize, and follow the voice of the Good Shepherd today? Do we hear his voice differently from those disciples whose ears were within feet of his mouth? In one sense, the answer is obvious. We do hear it differently, even if his voice hasn't changed. I have a vivid memory of the first time that I realized that I could hear a voice differently, even though it had not changed at all. When I was in the eighth grade, I left my home in the small town of 96, South Carolina, to go to boarding school, about 30 minutes outside of Boston, Massachusetts. And after spending my first week at orientation at that school, surrounded by new voices, I remember calling home, and just to note, that was a time when you went to a place in a building, and there was a box on a wall with a cord that was connected to it, and you had to press the buttons. But I remember calling home, and my mother answered the phone, and began telling me about what all was going on in 96 South Carolina with my family and friends. And I remember being shocked at how much my mother's voice had changed. Her southern accent had become much more pronounced. And without thinking about it, I blurted out, "Mom, why do you sound so country?" Which I realized everybody standing around me would sound pretty country. But after a brief moment of silence, I remember hearing the familiar sound of my mother's laughter. And with it, I realized that her voice had not changed. Only my vantage point had. Across time and space and a telephone line, I was hearing her differently. Not because she had changed, but because I had. Now, we don't have a telephone line running back to first century Palestine. We can't just pick up the phone and hear the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking to that crowd and then follow him. But we have something much richer and much more powerful that allows us to hear his voice from our vantage point, from our place in time and space. We have the church, the flock that has gathered in his name for almost 2,000 years in order to collectively listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd, by joining in the prayers of the faithful, by hearing the words of Scripture read aloud in our presence, by reflecting on those prayers, by offering our gifts, by gathering at this table. When we come together in worship, we are gathering to hear his voice and to discern together how to follow him. We are here today in expectation that the Good Shepherd has something to say to us, something about how we use our time, something about how we spend our money, something about how we love our neighbors and our enemies. Something about how we might be recognized as his sheep. Something about how we might follow him. So keep listening. He is calling each of you by name so that you might have life and have it more abundantly.